All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at BKFC 49, and that all goes down on August the 25th, and a very intriguing matchup for that vacant BKFC welterweight championship. We've got Gorjan Slaveski and Jake Lindsay knuckling up and towing the line, and always great getting to talk to Jake. How's everything going there, man?
It's going good. Everything's going good, man.
And I mean, this seemed like something that was even on the radar, sort of, when we were last talking, just the potential for like certain things to fall into place whereby this could be like that specific fight for the welterweight title. Like, when did you, I guess, officially get word that Palomino would be vacating the title and you'd be fighting Gogo for the belt?
Well, honestly, I knew it would kind of work out this way from the get-go because I think they already had... I think they're having issues with getting Palomino to fight even before Gogo, because he originally fought for the number one contender slot. And then, but I at that point, I already had a contract for a fight with Connor for the number one contender slot. So I put two and two together. It's like, well, they're already having issues with Gogo, or excuse me, with Palomino fighting for defending his title. So I knew probably about a year ago it'd be me and Gogo fighting, not me and Palomino.
Yeah, fair enough. Because I was seeing like certain things. Like, I mean, I was talking to Palomino a bit ago, and he was saying that they were targeting a potential like welterweight title defense against Austin Trout, but then it kind of fell out. But yeah, I felt like a lot of the stuff I was seeing too, it was like trending to where Palomino would almost focus on his lightweight belt more so.
Yeah, and he's getting to the point where, like, honestly, he's been fighting forever, and he's 8-0 in bare knuckle. I mean, he's trying to get some money fights here, and that's like, that's the problem. I was just talking to Buddy about this. That's an issue with bare knuckle being partnered with Triller. Is what's going to happen is you get all the guys who are the champions, right? And they're probably making pretty good money, but they're fighting all the best hard guys for less money than they would make to fight some guy who's a YouTube social media guy, or like a Mike Perry. Everybody wants to fight Mike Perry, even though he's not the number one contender, because they make more money. So you're coming into that issue. So he probably was like, you know, why am I fighting all these guys at 165 who are really, really tough and they're harder fights, but I'll make less money? So he's probably trying to target some sort of YouTube money fight, which is smart by him. So
yeah, and I mean, like you said, it is kind of an interesting sort of thing because I feel like that is largely the case. Like, it's almost like a binary kind of path for people in BKFC. Like, it's either they go through like the normative, like climb the hierarchy, fight for the title sort of thing, whereas like other people's motivation seems to be just like the bigger kind of money fights that are going to get like that, I guess, cachet and notoriety and everything like that. So I guess, how does it feel to kind of be at that point where you're like readying to fight for the title, because you're very much that guy that, like, I guess, quote unquote, like properly, like in a normative way, went up through the ranks and now you're readying to fight for the title? Is there a certain level of, you know, satisfaction within that, or are you looking to get a slice of this money fight action at some point too?
Well, I think I'm a little bit atypical comparatively to most other guys in combat sports because they have been around for so long, and B, my mentality is just a bit different. Like, yeah, I'm really excited to fight for the belt. Really, I mean, that's if it wasn't for the belt, I may not even take another fight. You know what I mean? Just because I want that. You want to win the title for your legacy. I'm doing all that stuff for myself. That's not like a money thing. But and then on the other hand, you know, you got to get the money too.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, why would I fight? So if, you know, once I beat Gogo, win the belt, then the next guy up is Ricardo Franco, who's an absolute monster. But he's not very well known in terms of, like, in the United States, and he's not a big money fight. So let's say I get the belt, so then I can fight a guy who's really, really hard to fight, very talented, for less money, or I could try to fight Mike Perry or Eddie Alvarez or Chad Mendez or whoever, who's an easier fight than him, but I'd make way more money. So you can kind of see where there's a... I think they need to restructure stuff in a sense, in that regard, because when I get the belt, they're going to say, okay, you're going to get X amount of money to fight, you know, Rico Franco, who's the most dangerous guy in the division, you know, after I beat Gogo. So then, or I could say, like, think about this. What if, or I could just say, I vacate the belt. I'm not going to fight all the best guys for less money. I'd like to fight Chad Mendes, right? Like, Chad Mendes is a hard fight, but he's not as hard as Rico Franco, and I'd get paid three times the money. So you're kind of in that. It's kind of a weird dichotomy at the moment in combat sports. It used to be you fight the best guys, and you always just make the most money. But now it's not like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, it is a unique landscape in that regard, for sure. Like, just, I don't know. Yeah, you even kind of see certain, like, yeah, politics with that kind of pop up. Like, I mean, a guy like Palomino seemed like he was, like, we were talking about looking for some of those money fights, but then sometimes you get the guys who are like the coveted fighter, and maybe they're looking for someone who represents more of like a strong B side, or even like another almost like dual A side kind of dynamic there. But I mean, a lot to talk about with this fight coming up, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't at least briefly touch on the last one. Seemed like a very strong win, and just an electric fight too, getting that victory over Conor Tierney. Like, what were your main takeaways from that one there?
Well, Conor, very talented guy. I don't know. I felt real good mentally about it. I went. I couldn't take my main coaches with me. It was a hard fight. It was a lot of action. I kind of wish it would have went to the rest of the fifth round, so I could, you know, put him down again and put like a definitive, you know, this is absolutely my fight type. You know, or like, what if we went to an extra round? How awesome would that have been? That'd have been, you know, I was feeling fantastic in the fifth round, my cardio-wise. But it was just a good win. There's not really a lot of takeaways from it. It's just, it is what it is. You know, I don't overthink stuff like that, you know. The fight didn't go, I kind of got away from the game plan middle of the fight, which is why I got dropped. So there were some, like, improvements that I obviously need to make from that, but... You know, yeah. I just don't overthink shit that much, man. So it was a good win. I like going to London. I really enjoyed meeting all the guys over there. The European fighters from that area are all really good guys. Those guys are true fighters over there. You don't get a lot of those guys are doing it, you know, just for the glory of the fight. They don't give a shit about the money. It's about, you know, putting respect on their name. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. I, the culture of fighting over there is a little bit different than over here.
Yeah, I very much agree. I guess I partly was asking that question because I felt like it allowed you to show like a newer dimension of your game relative to like it being localized to BKFC. And I don't mean this to, you know, sound like it's coming across in any way to your prior opponents, but I felt like that last one saw you like overcome maybe like a greater level of resistance than your previous BKFC fights.
That third round when he put me down, there was some definite like mental check that, you know, if you're a quitter, that's the time to quit. I said before that fight, I said, he'll have to, there's no way ever I'm quitting. Like, at this point in my career, I've done the whole, been undefeated, then you lost, and you kind of go down in your career, then you come back up. I've went that whole pathway, and I have so much experience mentally that I said, there's no fucking way. He's going to have to, like, put me out, like, all the way. And I showed that, and my recovery was really good. He put me down at the end of the round, which, I mean, he starts me with that shot. That was a solid shot. But then 20 seconds after I sat down, I was completely fine. So I feel real good about my recovery, and what I'm doing in training is working real well. So, and yeah, he is a big notch to put on my belt because, you know, up to that point, everyone's like, oh, he's going to be the champion. Like, if you read the comments on the fight post about, like, oh, Conor's the future, Conor's this two-weight world champion, all this shit. Like, oh, he's going to starch this guy. I'm like, we'll see, motherfuckers. We'll see about that. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. The guys I fought before were good, like Brandon Gerson, a very, you know, good fighter. But in terms of straight striking and bare-knuckle boxing, Conor's name had a lot of weight to it.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, definitely like the opponents, I guess I mean relative to just how like the actual fights played out. Like, I mean, your previous opponents definitely had that skill, but it just seemed like you were like offensively effective and defensively responsible enough, and that Tierney fight just kind of ended up being a war for sure. But, you know, curious to...
It was a great fight, man. A lot of people didn't get it credit because they were so worried, they were so mad about him being the stoppage. It's like, man, well, shit happens sometimes. It's like, it's, you know, I don't know a guy, like I said on all the social media afterwards, I don't know, I'm not the referee. He looked a little fucked up to me, but again, like people, it took the bad part about the fight was at the end because people were throwing a fit about the stoppage. It's like, well, it kind of took away from how good the fight was.
Oh, that's interesting. So you felt like it kind of detracted a little bit, because I guess relative to how I remember that fight, I just kind of remember it being a barn burner, like multiple knockdowns, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Curious with combat sports, though, how people choose to, I guess, compartmentalize some of that stuff. But just curious to, I guess, get some of your thoughts on this one here. Because, like, one of the last times we were talking, I was sort of getting your thoughts on the general welterweight title picture, and you were talking about Gogo, and you were like, I think you referred to him as Gogo Slavic. You were like, oh, I can't really pronounce his name or anything. Have you, I guess, indulged in a certain level of additional research on this guy, or maybe you're not even focusing on that? It's just you're focusing on...
I mean, he's fought in the same card with me. I've seen him fight live. I've watched all of his fights. We've been on the same podcast and interacted a few times. I've watched some video on him, some BKFC video. They're all up his ass because he's really popular, and I mean, rightfully so. You know, he has all the right qualities to be a popular fighter. But yeah, I've done tons of research on him, and I feel great about the matchup. I can see. Here's the thing. I'm gonna do one of my little rants. It's kind of off topic, but it's on the subject. Here's the thing about this. People, every time they find a guy, they're like, oh, you know, I see these holes in his game, and blah 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 blah. Fighters are. Every fighter fights about the same, about 80%. Like, you have habits. If you've been fighting more than 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, you have habits, and you're going to do the same habits. It's not about seeing, I would say, holes in someone's game. It's about looking at their habitual behaviors. Because when you're in a fight, and you get, once you get into it and things get intense, you're going to always revert. You could have the best game plan, but if the game plan's not something you do normally, then the second you get cracked, the game plan's out the fucking window, right? You're going to revert to your normal way you fight. So the what you do is you find things that you do better that will... You find things that you do naturally that are effective against what he does naturally. And for me versus Gogo, it just so happens to be there's a lot of things I do all on my own. This is the way I fight that kind of counter some of the things he does. So... But at the same time, I've evaluated his strengths, too. Like, you have to be real careful with him. There's things he can do that are effective against things I do. So you kind of have to evaluate all that. So I don't overdo it. I have a couple guys who have been fighting for years in the area that have really high fight IQs. We always watch videos together. And we all see the same things with him. He's going to be better than he is last time. It's been probably 8 months since he fought. He'll probably be a little bit more technical, but yeah, I think there's a lot of things for me to exploit there, so I'm excited for the fight. He's a tough guy. I like tough guys. I like fighting tough guys, so.
Yeah, for sure, and I feel like you've always had, like, a really strong, like, regular group around you. Like, obviously, over the years, there's invariably going to be some cross-training or getting out of, like, the immediate familiar space, but it seems like your trainer Joe Wilk and some of the other like training compatriots over the years, like Dave Rickles, Isaac Doolittle, Tom Schoaf, like it would seem like you've got that good consistent collective putting together like another game plan for this one.
There's a lot of guys in the Midwest that are really talented, and you wouldn't, if you look at a lot of their records, you wouldn't think, like, there's a lot of them have 0.5 records, like, you know, half wins, half losses. But a lot of those guys, they just take short notice fights because they don't give a fuck. They don't train very much, but they're all really talented. And there's a handful of dudes in around this area that are just all really, really smart when it comes to fighting. They have a super high fight IQ. There's guys in Wichita, Chris Harris, you know, Cody Carrillo, and guys in, like, Kansas City, James Krause, all those guys that are just... really, really good, like, world-class coaches. Like, they could be world-class coaches at the highest level with how high their fight IQs are. So there's a lot of resources in my area. Though, like, in my town directly, there's not, like, huge gyms, tons of fighters in it and all that stuff. I have to kind of outsource that. You know, I have a lot of good resources here, and especially in the Midwest. So a lot of people sleep on the Midwest, man. But I'm telling you, like, all these, there's a lot of really tough, talented guys. I remember, and fighting in my area, not to, again, I'm ranting, sorry. Fighting in the Midwest has been around forever. Like, we're talking in a garage on concrete MMA matches 25 years ago. Like, MMA and combat sports have been around here for a long time. So there's tons of resources for me to kind of get my hands on when it comes to training and getting ready for fights.
Yeah, it just seems like it's so interwoven into the culture out there and everything. And I guess this, I'm kind of curious about this. I mean, not necessarily overlooking this particular fight, but just, I guess, kind of going back to that idea of, like, overseeing the general state of the division. Like, if you get your ideal outcome in this one, like, who do you, I guess, think could emerge as that next contender? Because, I mean, we've got, you know, Rico Franco in the mix, as you said. Like,
absolutely. There's no way. If they match me against anyone else, that's a disservice to him. If I get in there and do what I can do and just be myself and win the belt, then, yeah, it absolutely has to be Rico Franco. Like, there's no way. That guy deserved it for years. I think he's on, like, a 7-fight unbeaten streak. He just beat 3 guys. He fought twice more. He fought in the same card I fought Connor. He's already fought 3 more times. So he's had 4 fights in the time it's taken me to get 1. So, I mean, that guy, it has to be him. It doesn't make sense. There's no one else. Who else is there? Nobody. If Caleb Harris beat him, then it would have been Caleb Harris. But he took care of Caleb, you know, pretty handily. So it's got to be Rico Franco.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an incredible fight for sure. I mean, definitely both of you guys have very strong resumes. And, you know, another BKB guy there, kind of like when we were talking about the Connor Tierney fight. So another, you know, former champion from that outfit. You could kind of add to the resume, but I mean, curious to get your thoughts on this, because you've obviously captured championships and other combat sports, like in your MMA endeavors. Like, actually the first time we met was when you captured that unified MMA super lightweight title. So I guess, just in saying all of that, like, how much of, like, a capstone, like, memorable kind of achievement would it be to garner this BKFC championship in the context of what you've done through your combat sports efforts so far?
I would love nothing more than to go out there and win that belt, to be honest with you. Not just for the how esteemed the belt is, because I think BKFC is clearly the best bare-knuckle combat sports organization, but also just for my own personal, I guess, combat sports journey, it'd be something I've been pushing towards, you know, for years. And you know, when you're a fighter and you're kind of in that spot where you're not signed with anybody, you know, I went through a lot of years where, like, I was still fighting really tough guys. I'm training kind of, like I said, all my own. That fire just kept burning, and this wouldn't put the fire out at all. It'd probably make it, you know, bigger. But this is something I've been working towards, whether I've known it or not, you know, a long time. So this would mean the world to me to win this belt.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I'm excited. I'm getting all, my heart's starting to beat now. I'm ready to roll. Let's go.
Yeah, and we're getting so close to the fight for sure, man. And definitely, I always appreciate you coming on and giving the great insights. But it's been a little bit talking to you. I'm sure you have something that you need to be getting to. So I guess, in kind of saying all that, I'm curious if there's maybe, like, a final parting thought you'd want to add as we're wrapping up here, Jake.
No, man. Just everyone tune in. It's going to be a fantastic fight. Gogo's he's a warrior, and I'm a warrior. So when you get two warriors like this that have the fire and have the passion, it's always a great fight. And something special happens in fights like this. You know, there's an intangible thing you can't put your finger on in certain fights. I think this fight has all the ingredients to be one of those fights, man. He's gone through a bunch of shit in pursuit of his dreams. I've gone through a bunch of shit. And you got two dogs in there that aren't willing to back down at all. So everyone tune in. It's going to be a fantastic fight.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, definitely represents the best that 165 has to offer right now. And just like the momentum both of you guys have, I mean, this is like the only fight that could be made for this championship. And just the fact that it's vacant, guaranteed a new champion on August 25th. So definitely a lot going on into BKFC 49. But to reiterate, man, appreciate the time and just you coming on the show as always. And yeah, you just have a good rest of your day too, man.
I appreciate you, man. I'll see you later.